Grace, mercy, and peace are yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Word of God that we hear this morning is found in St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the first chapter, the 16th and 17th verses, and we read in Jesus' name. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. This is the word of our Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you will strengthen us through your truth. Amen. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer, words are powerful. We all know this. We know that wonderful sensation that comes with your boss or your professor applauding your well-done, hard-done work. We know this with the sinking feeling that comes when that cruel bully mocks you as stupid. Words are incredibly powerful. And that's why the Apostle James admonishes us, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Nevertheless, God's word, words that we read, words that we hear, words that we taste, God's words are even more powerful than human words. They are living and they are active. In today's reading in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul reminds us that God's word, found in the gospel, reveals reality. And God's word, found in the gospel, creates reality. Now, first of all, God's word reveals reality. It reveals the power of God. If I had a whiteboard up here and we had some congregational participation, I asked you to come at me with all of the different examples in the Holy Scriptures in which the power of God is revealed and recounted, we'd fill up that whiteboard rapidly. From the inaugural acts of creation, Genesis 1 and 2, then you have the great flood of Genesis chapter 7, the parting of the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14, all the way to the new heavens and the new earth envisioned by Isaiah and then promised in Revelation. God's power is everywhere. But here in Romans chapter 1, when Paul is talking about the power of God, he's talking about the story of your salvation. God's power over sin, death, and the devil accomplished and revealed through an incarnation, a crucifixion, and a resurrection. He is talking about an accomplished fact that can never be erased. Even though the devil definitely tries, and sometimes we forget, that God has vanquished sin. That's what Christ accomplished, not just for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It's the sacred story so succinctly and memorably captured by the Apostle John, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The eternal Son of God took flesh to share our humanity, so that he could experience and overcome our trials and temptations sinlessly. And then the Holy Son of God, now the Son of Man, became the most evil and sinful human being who ever existed as he went to the cross, and the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And through his wounds, we receive peace with God and healing from God. And then on the third day, that dead immortal one rose again, leaving behind in that empty tomb all the devil's accusations and all the sin and shame and guilt that we as humans accumulate. And springing from that empty tomb, then he proclaims forgiveness and freedom for all who believe that he, Jesus the Christ, is our Lord. That's reality. That's the wonderful story that is an accomplished, irreversible, sin-ridden, guilt-exiling, love-exuding fact. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jews first, and also to the Greeks. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So God reveals that reality, and then God's word creates that reality by making it your reality, making this sacred story your sacred story. God's word creates the faith that trusts in this story and clings to the promise that the gospel is not just for the world, but it's for me, and it's for you. That this power of God for salvation for all who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is not just for every other Christian in the church, in this chapel, the seemingly perfect ones, the smarter ones, the more pious ones, the ones that come from the right family, the ones who seem to have their acts together, the one whose burdens perhaps seem a little bit lighter and less shameful and embarrassing, the ones that weigh down your shoulders. The power of God for salvation is for everyone, and so therefore it's for you, each and every one of you. God became a man to redeem you. Your sins were nailed to Good Friday's cross. Your guilt and shame was abandoned in that empty tomb so that your soul could leap from that baptismal font as a new person, as a holy saint of God cleansed in Christ's blood, embraced by the God who loved you so much that he did not spare his son from the cross, by the Savior who loved you so much that even when he was on that cross in excruciating agony, Isaiah tells us that he was satisfied because he knew full well what that sacrificial death would mean for you. Brothers and sisters, it's not just the gospel. It's your gospel. It's not just reality. It's your reality. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to you who believe, revealed to you by God's word and then made yours by faith created by that word. This is the one thing needful. The centerpiece of our mission here at Bethany, the power of God confessed and proclaimed by our faculty and staff, who consecrate their time and their talents to our little slice of God's kingdom here in Mankato. It's such a wonderful gospel. It's such a powerful gospel. And employ it so that when the devil comes to you accusing you, shut him up and tell him where to go, because he has no power over you whatsoever. When guilt and shame flood into your mind, return to your baptismal font where God gave you a promise that each and every one of your sins has been washed away and drowned forever. When anxiety creeps into your life, remember that God's power in your life is certain because his victory over sin, death, and the devil is certain, and through your faith in Christ, his victory is your victory and his righteousness is your righteousness. Satan may rage, he may pout like a petulant toddler, but as that old hymn says, one little word shall fell him. That's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, first the Jew, and then to the Greek, and now to you. And my prayer for you this morning is that God the Holy Spirit will cause you to recognize God's saving power in your life through your faith, by Christ's grace. Our Savior has made you holy and righteous in God's sight. That's the power of God for your salvation. That's the power of the gospel. revealed to you and created by God's word. In our Savior's most precious and holy name, amen. And let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, your word is powerful. It reveals our salvation and it makes that salvation ours. Bless us with that knowledge and fill us with gratitude. Bless our college so that the power of your gospel rings clearly in our learning, our teaching, and our service. In your Son's precious name, amen. And we continue our worship with the hymn.